Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back. Today's Daf Yomi is Moed Katan Yudches. We are on Yedayin Amud Beis, four lines from the bottom. Tana Rabban, Keshem, She'amru Asro L'Galeich B'Moed. Just as the Chazal tell us, no haircuts during Chol HaMoed to ensure that you come into Yom Tov looking dignified. So Keshem She'amru Asro L'Galeich B'Moed, Kach Asro Litil Tziporneim B'Moed. Divei Rabbi Yudah. Rabbi Yudah maintains the same equation applies to cutting nails. When he's not meant to do so on Chol HaMoed, this will ensure that he enters Chol HaMoed dignified and properly groomed. Rabbi Yosi Mater, he says it's okay. Long nails, it's not like overloaded with hair on one's head, and that doesn't really pose a concern of nivul, of looking degraded and manuval on Chol HaMoed. You can cut nails on Chol HaMoed, and that's how we pass Chol HaMoed. And just as we say that a mourner, an avel, may not cut his hair during his avelus, because long hair is a siman of mourning, it shows that he's paying attention to the mace and not rather than grooming himself. So just as it applies to giluach, it applies to cutting nails as well. Kach asur litel tzipornayim b'mei evloi. Once again, this is Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Yehuda maintains long nails are a sign of avelus. Rabbi Yosi Mater says cutting nails, that's not restricted when it comes to avelus. Some of Farshim learn it's based on how to learn the pasuk by Eishes Yifas Toyar Va'asasas Tziporneah. So Rabbi Yehuda will learn that Asasas Tziporneah means letting the nails grow, that's a sign of avelus, of mourning, which she's meant to conform to. Rabbi Yosi learns the other way around. Asa tziporneah, cutting nails. So perhaps Rabbi Yosi holds long nails is not necessarily a sign of avelus, and therefore an avel may cut his nails. Amar ula halach, Rabbi Yehuda ba'avel. When it comes to avelus, we follow Rabbi Yehuda's stringent view. You have to let nails grow during avelus. V'alach, Rabbi Yosi ba'moed. When it comes to Chol HaMoed, we'll make it like Rabbi Yosi. Apparently, it's not really a true expression of nivul, and therefore it's okay to come into Chol HaMoed in this manner. Or as some learn, nails just grow and grow. It's not like a haircut, which is once a month. Nails, you're going to cut them today, you're going to cut them again in a week. So there was no restriction imposed to cutting nails. But avelus, it contravenes the concept of avelus, grooming oneself, looking after one's appearance. By avelus, you withhold. So that's Ula's approach. By Moed, we have a kula. By avelus, we machmer. Shmuel Amar, no. Halach Rabbi Yosi b'Moed, ul ba'avel, whether it comes to Chol HaMoed or avelus. We follow Rabbi Yosi's shita. Cutting nails was never asr. Damar Shmuel. Shmuel is consistent with his statement said elsewhere. He says, Halacha kedivrei hamekel ba'avel, when it comes to avelus, it comes to nyanim of sadness, of mourning, where mekel, we always follow the shita hamakila. In this case, we allow netilas tzipornayim, whether it's Chol HaMoed, even by avel, we allow it in accordance with Rabbi Yosi's shita. It was a story involving Pinchas, who was Achva, the brother of Shmuel, Achva de Mar Shmuel. And Shmuel was the one who just told us that one may trim nails during Avelus. So Pinchas' brother, Isra Bei Milsa. Isra Bei Milsa is a term used throughout Meid Katan to describe a sad event, a tragic event, meaning a relative passes away. He was experiencing Avelus. Al Shmuel Lemishal. Tamimine, his brother Shmuel comes in. L'mishal tamimine means L'dabar al-libay, Rashi says, to console him, to comfort him, to be menachem avol. Chazinu l'tufri, davan afishan. Shmuel notices Pinchas, his brother's nails, very long. Armalei, he tells him, Amaylei shachlis lu, why don't you trim your nails? Armalei, Pinchas responds, Ibe didei hava. If this was your experience, you were sitting a shiva, mimezazlas bekulei, how would you take the shiva so lightly? Would you engage in grooming and cutting nails? It's inappropriate during avelus. Now the fact that he expressed himself in this harsh manner, attributing avelus to Shmuel, it took effect. Havoi, Kishgoga Hayotze Sheyotze Milfnei Shalat. It was like a decree issued by a shalat, by a ruler, erroneously. But it had an effect. The fact that he said something like that. If it would have happened to you, what would you have done? V'yisra be'milsa b'shmuelan, Shmuel indeed experienced avelos as a result of this expression. Al Pinchas Achva, now it was Pinchas' brother's turn, l'mishal tameh minei, came in to console Shmuel. Shmuel responded harshly. Shaklinu l'tufre. Shmuel took his own nails that he had sheared off. Chavtinu l'apen, he threw it against him towards his brother Pinchas. Amar, he tells him, in exasperation, Amar le. Leslach bris krusalis vasayim. Don't you know that is a bris attributed to one's lips, meaning lips, words, verbal expressions have effect, have power. They're guaranteed to have some sort of effect, like a bris, a bond. It's a guarantee, the result. How do we know this concept? That words have an effect. By the Akedah Sitzchak, Avram turns to his helpers, to Eliezer, to Yishmael. He says, wait around. Wait with a donkey. And myself with Yitzchak. We will go. And then he added, we're going to return. The fact is, he indicated that he's going to return with Yitzchak together, alive. That's what happened. It turns out that they indeed both return. So we see that words have effect. And Rafarshim say, because what sets a pot, what sets a person higher than an animal? Ruach memalul, koy chadibur. That's a more spiritual element. Ruchni is like a koyach within a person. And therefore, that has an effect. Bris krusalis vasayim. One has to be careful with what he says. Tesis brings the Gemara and Brachas. Lo elam al yiftach adam pivla satan. So a person is meant to guard his words carefully. They have effect. Sabermina, the Gemara figured that when we say there's a heta to trim nails during avelo, Sabermina, the yadin only applies to one's hands. Fingernails. The regaloi, but not toenails, Rashi says, because fingernails are more visible. But not when it comes to reglaim. Om Rab Anan, Bar Tachlifa, no. L'didim yifarsha li minei de mishmol. I personally heard from Shmuel himself, loishna de yad, loishna de regal, irrelevant of whether it's fingernails or toenails, one may trim them during avelus. Om Rab Chir Barashi, Om Rab, Rav added, ube gnustera asur. One can't use a nail clipper. This is Rav's shita, that not to be matter. Perhaps even during avelus, during moed, one has to be careful to be mishana, derech shinoi, in keeping with the spirit of Yom Tov. But Shmuel apparently holds, there were 12 points this out, Shmuel apparently doesn't differentiate any sort of trimming as mutter. Amar av shaman bar abba hava ke'imna, kameh derav yeichan, b'meh bedrasha. I was present in front of Rav Yeichan in the base medrash, b'choydu shel moyed, v'shaklinu l'tufra b'shina. I noticed that he trimmed his nails using his teeth, v'zarkinu, and he tossed them aside. Shema min atlas, we learn three things from this story. Shema min amutter litzel tzipar naim b'chol shomayid. Number one, trimming nails on chol shomayid is mutter. Number two, shema min ein ba mishumiyus, removing them in this manner, using one's teeth, does not constitute mius, which would not allow him to do it. Certainly not in public. Apparently it's okay. Shema min amutter. Number three, we learn mutter lizark, and one can just toss them aside without really disposing of them properly. Any is that so? Vatani, we learned in a brisa, shloisha devarim, number of tzipor nine. There are three methods of disposing nails. Hakreivran tzaddik, one buries them out of reach, out of sight, he's a tzaddik. Serfan, if one actually burns them, goes a step further, chasid. Chasid is greater than a tzaddik. Chasidus means lefnim mishur sadin, lashon of chesed, going the extra mile. And Tosfos in Nida says, why is a serfan chasid? He says, because when a person actually burns his nails, he's endangering himself. He brings there's a concept that a person could be affected by actually burning his nails. And the fact is that this fellow is willing to sacrifice his own safety. He's willing to be meisa nefesh so that his nails are totally out of sight, out of reach. It doesn't suffice with just burying them where they might be accessed. He burns them, he's a chassid. Number three, Zarkan Rasha. One just tosses them aside without care. He's a Rasha. The time of my, what's wrong with that? Shema Taver Alein Isho Bor. Perhaps an expectant woman will walk over them. V'tapel Shul Meskari. Some sort of skula in a negative way that an Isho Bor could be affected by nails. So, how did Rabbi Yochanan just toss them aside? Isha be midrash le shchicha. It's a bais medrash. Isha is not present in the bais medrash. There's no chashash there. V'chitema, perhaps you'll be concerned that Zumnin the mechanshilu, perhaps they'll be swept up. V'shadu labroi, they'll be tossed outside the bais medrash where the isha is to be found. Why is there no concern of that? Given the ishtin ishti, well, once they were taken out of the makim upon which they were dropped, they no longer have that detrimental kayach, and therefore there's no concern. Amar bidam arav, zug bo mechamsa. Lefnei Rebbe, there were a pair of chachamim who came from the town of Chamson to Rebbe to ask him a shayla. That's one version of what happened. Rebbe Yehuda is relating this in the name of Rav. Umazutra Masni. Mazutra had a brisa, so it wasn't Rav, it was a brisa with the same story. Zug bo mechamsa. Lefnei Rebbe, Zug arrived from Chamson to ask Rebbe a shayla. And what do they ask him? Ubikshu mimenu tzipornayim. They wanted to know whether it's permitted to trim nails in the time of Avelus. That's how Rashi learns. V'hita lehem, and he allowed it. V'imbikshu memenu safa. Now, according to the first version that was reviewed, the name of Rav. So Rav was relating, look, I noticed on Rebbe's, by his facial expression, that if they would have asked him further, what about trimming one's safa, one's mustache, in the state of Avelus, so that it doesn't interfere with his eating, Hiter Lehem, he would have allowed that as well. Rashi on top learns, there's another element of the Isser Bal Tashchus Bal Pas Zokim, women not shave his beard off with a razor, so Chiddush was, it doesn't apply to the mustache area. Ushmul Amar, Af Bikshu Mimenu Safa V'Hiter Lehem. Actually, they did ask regarding the mustache, and he was Matur. Amar Vitol Safra, that was his name, Mishmei the Rav, or the Rapapa. To what extent may one trim his beard in this state of Avelus? Safa misafas lezavas, from corner to corner, from one side of the mouth to the other, so that it doesn't interfere with the achil of ashtia. Amar Rab Ami ubesafa malkevas, of course, we're speaking that it interferes with his eating. Amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak lididi, by me, where I'm extra sensitive, I'm an istinus, the entire mustache needs to be shaved. It feels to me like it's interfering with the food. Any sort of hair around the mustache area, I need to shave off, and I'm allowed to do so. So it's all relative to one's tolerance level. V'omer avitol safra, another statement from the same under Omer, Mishmei de Rav Papa, Parei Shehoya b'mei Moshe. The pharaoh, in the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, so pharaoh is a general term like an emperor. All the pharaohs were called pharaoh. The Parei in the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, he had a strange appearance. Hu Amma? He was merely an Amma, tall. Vizikni Amma, his beard was an Amma long. Uparmash Takoy Amma, Vizeres. And his Eber HaZocha was actually longer, an Amma and a half, which is a very degrading presentation. So it wasn't due to his imposing or charismatic posture that he ruled the nation. Actually, in the reverse, he didn't look too imposing and too prominent, but Hashem did this purposely. L'kayim ha-mashenemar, in fulfillment of the pasuk, was shfal anoshim yekim aleil. This is by Bavel, actually. Nebuchadnezzar was also a pretty interesting-looking fellow. According to one pshat in the Medrash, he was merely a tefach high. So, the point here is that Hashem is telling us, the non-Jewish leaders who torment Klal Yisrael don't get their power from their character, or from their charisma, or from their imposing presentation. Rather, Hashem places them in charge with a specific mission in mind. This Paro in time of Moshe, Amugushi Hoya, according to one pshat, he was a fellow involved in witchcraft. Shenemar, he would go out to the Nile and engage himself in kishuf. Typically, we don't do laundry on Chol HaMoed to ensure that we come in all prepared and dignified, but in some cases, in cases where the situation doesn't allow for washing, he arrived from out of town, etc., washing is permitted. I'll give you another example. If one merely has just one shirt to his name, he can ritz in a chol hamoed because this fellow too is an oinus. his shirt only lasts him so many days, and inevitably he needs to do rinsing on Chalamoid as well. Most of every year we have a kasha from the Mishnah where we don't mention this fellow in that list. Elu mechapsim b'moed, the following fellows can do kibbutz on moed, haba medina sayam v'chul hanin, only these individuals who are involved in oynes. But a fellow who only owns one shirt, he's not included. Perhaps it's not really a pronounced circumstance. It's not a fellow who came out of jail. It's not known to all. We're not mechalak. We don't give him this allowance. He responded to him like this. As Barlach, I'll answer you your kash. Mas nisen. I forgot the isre. Yom tanfi. I'm just speaking about ordinary individuals. They have a whole wardrobe. He has two begadim, but they both happen to be dirty. So in this case, typically, you can't do laundry in Chalamoid. You should have done it before, but if you are an anus, circumstances did not allow for laundering Erev Yom Tov. You came from the Medina Sayyam, you came out of jail. In this case, we have an exemption for your case. But the Mishnah is not speaking about a case where a person merely owns one shirt. It's not your typical case. In this case, this on its own would allow laundering and chalamoid in accordance with Rabbi Yechanan's sheet. Shalach Rabbi Yitzchak bar Yaakov bar Giyuri mishuv Rabbi Yechanan. He presented another halacha in the name of the same Rabbi Yechanan. Here there's another example, another exception to the rule. Klei Pishtan, linen begadim, made from flax. It appears that they used to have that as undergarments. In fact, we had this back in Maseches Tanis as well. Klei Pishtan, there are special allowances when it comes to Klei Pishtan. Mutar lechapsan b'chol shemoyed, they can be laundered in chol shemoyed, according to the Rashi Ksav Biad, because they're getting soiled constantly, right? One's undergarments are getting soiled on a regular basis, and therefore, there was never restrictions imposed on undergarments, on Klei Pishtan. The whole point is, come prepared. In this case, it's inevitable. They're going to get soiled on a regular basis, therefore, one can wash them in chol shemoyed. Masav Rava. Akasha, similar to the one before. Take a look at the Mishnah, which gives us some examples of heter, mitpachasi yadayim, hand towels, which are constantly soiled, mitpachasi asafarim, tezis as tupshati, either asaparim, the barbers, who engage in giving haircuts to those individuals who may take haircuts, or sfarim, mitpachasi asfarim, the mantles around sfarim, which are getting dirty. So all these can be rinsed on chol shemoyed. Only these types, hani in, these are allowed, but klei pishtan loy, but not linen begadim. So there's no heter for that. Amalei Abaye responds, similar to the terrace before, Mas nisin afilu deshar mini. The Mishnah is speaking about ordinary fibers, ordinary materials, ordinary begadim. Typically, there's no allowance for that, except for Abba Medina Sayam, or except in these cases of these towels. But linen begadim, klei pishtan, that's in a class on its own. That's mutter regardless, because they get constantly soiled. The Rashi on top says there's very little tircha involved. In any case, there's a special heter there. But that's not the topic of discussion in our Mishnah, so you can't ask a kasha from our Mishnah why did Mishnah mention it. We're not discussing Klei Pishtan. In support of this halacha, Amar Bar Hedya, L'didi, Chazila, Yam Shel Tveria, I noticed around the Yam Shel Tveria, the Yam Kineres, the Mapkila Mishichli, they go and they pull out loads, buckets. Mishichli, the Manikitna, buckets full of linen begadim, b'chol demayad on chol shemoyed. They were rinsing their begadim, made from pishtan chol shemoyed, in accordance with Rabbi Yechon. Maskev la'abaye asks Abaye, that's not a right. Man leimalon, deberatzen chacham avdi. Who's to say that they were doing it with the chacham's consent? The chacham were pleased what they were doing. Dimashaleberatzen chacham avdi. Perhaps chacham were displeased what they were doing. You can't bring a raya from what people were doing. Continues the Mishnah. Ve'elu koisvin v'moyed. Although typically we don't do malacha, we don't do any writing on moyed. The following documents may be written even during moyed. Says Taisus. Nira dechol hani habudavra avid. In all these cases, there's an element of davra avid. Pen yamasan noisin, oya edim, oya bezin, oya chum dinasayam. In all these cases, perhaps one of the parties involved in this procedure will either pass away, leave town. Therefore, we have to chap a rayin and write the shtar during chol shemoyed. It constitutes davar ha'avid. And we know davar ha'avid may be done in chol shemoyed. Says the Mishnah, Kiddushei Nashim, a document with which you are Mekadosh Ha'isha. V'gitin, a divorce document. V'sheivarna, a receipt that the loiva will give the lender. The Yataki, a will, matana, a document delineating a gift, uprizbulin, that's what the lender would write at the end of Shemitah, that his loan doesn't expire, igreis shum, an appraisal document issued by Bezdin, igreis mazin, a document in which a person commits to support his wife's children, shtari chalitza mi'unin, a shtar of chalitza, of mi'un, where a ketana will just back away from her husband, the Bezdin writes a shtar mi'un, ushtari beirurin. According to Rashi, it means Bezdin allocated properties of a Yerusha. You get this part, you get that part. Gzeira is Bezdin. Any type of decree issued by Bezdin, ve'igur shel reshus. According to the Rashi, it means tzivui v'kim shel shitun, some sort of legal document, a new law enacted by the government. So all these things are time-related. Rashi Taisus explained. You can't procrastinate, bless the authorities or the Bezdin or the people involved, leave town or die, in which case you lose that opportunity, so you can go write them. He brings from the Yerushalmi, Igreis Rishus actually means Yerushalmi Mefarish Prisas Shalom, a friendly letter. So one can write a letter to a friend on Chol HaMoed. Says the Gemara, Omar Shmuel, Muta La'aris Isha B'Chol HaMoed. Although one may not marry on Chol HaMoed, we had this back in Avches, Ein Ma'arvin Simcha V'Simcha, but engagement, Eirusin, which is of course more than today's engagement. Eirusin actually involved being Mekadish, doing the Kinyan, but it's just phase one, it's Kiddushin. Typically you don't do Kinyanam on Chol HaMoed, but Isha, Muta La'aris Isha B'Chol HaMoed. Why? It's a Davar Ovid. Why is it a Davar Ovid? Shem Yikadmenu Acha, perhaps he's going to lose that opportunity. Perhaps somebody else will beat him to it. Somebody else will take her before him. Leima Maseya Le, perhaps we can prove Shmuel's halacha from a Mishnah. The Mishnah we just learned. Ve'elu koisven b'mayid. The following documents may be written in Chol HaMoed. Kedushei Nashim. A star written to Mimikadosh and Isha. Maila v'shtari kedushin mamish. Should not assume the Mishnah is speaking about a shtar kedushin with which you make the kinyan. That's right, it's small that you can make a kinyan kedushin. Ah, oh, wait. What? We're not speaking about that. Shtari psikta. We're speaking about a shtar in which the agreements, the prenuptial agreements, are recorded. The dowries, etc. Ukud Rav Gidla Marav. Da Rav Gidla Marav. He described what goes on before a wedding. So both parties sit down, both families sit down. Kamat anoisin lebincha. How much are you going to provide for your son's wedding? Kach v'kach, so much and so much, $1,000,000. Kamat anoisin lebincha, what about you, dear father of the kala? How much are you going to provide for your daughter's wedding? Kach v'kach, $1,000,000. Okay, amdo v'kachu. So they get up and they do the kiddushin, they carry out the kiddushin. So even though they didn't actually make a kinyan regarding their commitments, kanu, their commitments take hold, take effect. These are things, words, verbal agreements, verbal discussions which become solidified and enacted just by mere verbal expression. That's a chiddush, that even though there was no kinyan directly on the dowry discussion, but once the kedushin takes hold, their commitments take hold as well. In any case, that's perhaps the kedushin notion described in the Mishnah, the shtar in which they recorded their discussions regarding the dowry agreements, but perhaps the actual Kinyan Kedush cannot be done on Chol HaMoed. Leima Mesaya Le, perhaps we'll have a right to Shmuel from another Brice. Ein Noisin Nashim B'Moed. Women actually marry on Moed. Loi Psulois V'Loi Almonois V'Loi Miyabin. Even Yibum can't be done with Pesha Simcha. Loi, all these experiences provide Simcha which get in the way of Simcha's Yom Tov. Says the Gemara. But we have a Diyuk. Marriage is also. Hola Aris Shari. Apparently Erusin, engagement is Mutter, like Shmuel. Loi Miboyi Ka'amar. No. Perhaps the Braise is using a term of loy miboye, a method of needless to say. Loy miboye la'aris, the loy covered mitzvah. Needless to say that you can't engage because that's not really a fulfillment of the mitzvah of pur rebu, just engagement. That certainly can't be done in Chol HaMoed. There's no need to discuss that. That's certainly off the table. Ela afilo lisa nami. But even to marry, that's a chiddush. Even that cannot be done. Perhaps I would think the covered mitzvah, since he's engaged in a mitzvah, he's engaged in pur rebu, that should be mutter? No. Comes the Brice and says, sir, it's also because it interferes with Yom Tov, but in any case, we have no raya from here to Shmuel. Toshma, here comes a raya. The son of the Shmuel, they had a Brice which they taught in the Vesmerush of Shmuel, which says, Ma'arsin, one may engage on Moyed, Avaloy, Koysim, not actually marry, but that interferes with the Yom Tov. So engagement, that's not such a great simcha. In fact, Ve'ein Oysin's Udas Erosin, engagement is Mutta, but the what they call the var, the engagement party, that's not to be done on moed, because that's a simcha which interferes. For like miyabim, likewise, you don't even do yibum on moed, because this simcha generated by this event will interfere with Yom Tishmam. You know, if we have a clear right to Shmuel, engagement on moed is mutar. Why? Shema yikadmenu acha, perhaps somebody else will beat him to it. It's a davar of it. Says the Gemara, is that a real concern? Is that a mature concern? Is that consistent with the Torah view of things? Is there a concern that somebody else might grab his shidduch? Here comes Shmuel himself and says, "Bechol yom v'yom on a daily basis." And some have the Gerasa base and the Gemara and Soita that base arboim yom. Koydim mitzirus avlat, 40 days before even the fetus is formed. It's all prepared in advance. So perhaps that's what the Gemara means. During those 40 days, on a daily basis, bechol yom v'yom, there's a baskul that calls out from Shemaim. Yoses v'ymeres bas plainly plainly. Reuven's daughter, she's destined for Shimon. Saw the plenty, that field, that parnasa is destined for Shimon. And Farshim explained, why does the Gemara choose the term bas plenty la plenty instead of just plenius la plenty? Three terutzim are given. Number one, because the a man's daughter relates to him, he gets her kedushin, right? If he gets some money for the kedushin that goes to the father, it's his mitzvah to be Mikalish's daughter, so it's bas plenty. Another pshat, some of Farshim say, because the baskel pertains to the zachar, right? Bas pleni is lepleni, and as soon as the zachar starts coming about, as soon as his yitzira begins, the baskel starts calling out, even if the nekev is not yet in existence. So that's why the chazal picked the lashon bas pleni lepleni. The point is, the chasan is already around. So even if the kal is not here yet, his shidduch is already predetermined. A third pshat is api kabbalah, api zohar, that until her marriage, a girl relates to her father. She identifies with her father. Bas pleni lepleni. In any case, it's all predetermined and predestined. Nobody's grabbing away somebody's shidduch. So what does Shmuel mean? Why is the davar of it? Ella rather says the Gemara, typically you're right. Typically, conventionally, one will get his basheret. Ella shemi kadmenu acha barachmim. There's always a concern that perhaps somebody else will invoke so much power of rachmim through intense tefillah, he can change the mazel. Quite unusual, but it can happen, and therefore there's an element of davar ha'avid, grabber while you can. Ki hada Rava, as we find the following incident with Rava, shamar lo gavar. He overheard this fellow who was desperate for a shidduch, and he says, "Deboy rachmi." He was davening to Hashem, va'aman. He was saying as follows: "Tis dominantly planisa. Please, Hashem, I want planisa this shidduch." Rava didn't like what he heard. Amrli, and he tells him, "Lo tiboy rachmi achi. Don't be so specific. Ichazi lach, if she's meant for you, lo yozlem minach. She will not walk away from you. You'll have her. V'loy, but if she's not meant for you, kafar to Hashem. You're denying Hashem's judgment, so to speak, and His power. You're asking for something very specific, denoting that you don't have full trust in Hashem. That's not the proper attitude. Rather, daven that Hashem should provide you with what you need, your shidduch, your panasa, etc., and in general terms. That's how you meant to speak. As the Rambam in Maseches Bracha says, Hashem, only Hashem knows what's best for you. So this fellow is getting older. He's a shidduch, daven to Hashem to open up the channels of bracha, reopen those clogged pipelines, let the bracha flow forth. A shidduch, panasa, atzlacha, don't ask for anything specific. Hashem knows what's meant for you. By asking for something specific, you are showing that you're, so to speak, smarter than Hashem, kafar to Hashem. Basar hachi, okay, so this fellow listened. Next time around, Rabbi hears him saying like this. Basar hachi, Shami overhears him saying the Kamar, "Oi, ihu, leimus mikamo." So this fellow was diving to Hashem like this. Either him, meaning himself, ihu leimus mikamo, he should die before the Isha, because of the Isha. Meaning, I don't want to see her married to somebody else. Okay, I agree, maybe she's not mine, but I want to die before her. I want to die in her presence, before she marries somebody else. Or is a choice. Hashem, you have a choice. Either I die before her, or she dies before I do. Okay, before... So I don't see her married to somebody else. So bottom line is, I don't want to... Experience that distressing feeling of seeing her married to somebody else. Either I die or she dies. Amar Leis, so whoever responded again, Lava Minalach, didn't I already tell you, Lo Tiboyla de Mil Sahachi? This is not the way you meant to daven. Your tefillah can have an effect, it can actually happen. Leave it alone. Don't be so pushy. Be Erlach. Daven with trust, with Amunah, with Betachan. Tamim Tiyam Hashem Lakecha, Hashem will give you what you need. Now, there's two ways to learn the Gemara. You see, Rashi on top says that he learns that you can't really change the shidduch. That's what Rebbe was telling him. Right? There were two stories, right? Initially, he was davening for a specific isha. Rebbe says, don't ask. If she's meant for you, fine. Otherwise, you're being kafir b'Hashem. So Rashi learns, what's the kafir b'Hashem? In the emuna, the trust. Because your tefillah won't have any effect. You can't change things. Right? It's not yours. So you're going to daven for something that's not going to come about. That creates, it can generate a lack of emuna in Hashem. Look, my tefillah is not working. That's how he learns the first Gemara. So from there, we don't see that a person could change his shidduch. But in the second story, where this fellow was asking that either he or she should die, oh, that can happen. He's not changing a shidduch, just asking for somebody to die early. So that can happen. And that's how Rashi learns the Gemara. Shmuel says you can engage in chalamoid. Shemi kadmena acha barachma means that maybe somebody out there will be davening that shall die. Right? Somebody has an agenda, some sort of program here, that, and he's davening that she should die. That's the concern. And therefore it's considered davar avad. That's how Rashi learns. But other Rishonim learn differently. The Rebbe was telling him, don't daven for this specific isha, because if she's meant for you, good, gevaldik. There's no need to daven like that. Otherwise, kafarta b'Hashem, as we explained, you're indicating that you're wiser than Hashem. You're giving Hashem advice. Hashem doesn't need your specific advice. Just daven in a general term. There's an element of lack of trust, of fear in Hashem when you're being so specific. So according to those Rishonim, in a chanami, you can. A person does have the ability, through the power of tefillah, to change a predetermined shidduch. There is that power with intense tefillah. Oh, not common, it's not routine to experience such a tefillah, but if it's a truly intense, powerful tefillah, it can change matters as well. So many ask whether a person can lose his bar sherter. So basically, it's machayis rishonim. According to Rashi Bayas, if it's questionable who wrote this Rashi, but if it's whatever it is, this pirush on the side that we have does not hold of that. You cannot actually change it even through tefillah. But the other rishonim, I think Rashi and Ksavya, the Ran learns, other rishonim learned, yeah, there is such an option, but it's very uncommon, very unlikely. It only can happen through intense rachmim, through intense tefillah, which can actually change one's mazel. A pretty unusual, unlikely event, but it's still enough of a chashash to allow eruv and a chodesh shemoy. It's very similar to Tosfos and Shabbos, of Kuf and Vav. The Gemara speaks about a person born on a Sunday and a Monday, and the mazalas that affect a person's life. And Tosfos asks, what do you mean? The Gemara says, ein mazal yisrael. And Tosfos asks, what do you mean? The Gemara Moed Katan speaks about bonei chayei umezoinei, children, length of life, and parnasa. Artolian mazel. How does that work with the Gemara? The Ein Mazel Yisrael. So Tosfos says, sure, there's the conventional system, right? Mazel was ingrained in the Gashmistik, system of the world, where Hashem arranges the world. It's all pi mazel. But Yisrael have the ability to transcend mazel, to rise above mazel through tefillah, through schus. Here we have another element, changing the zivuk. But that it would seem that's even higher. It's even more of a difficult task. Than just transcending plain mazel. The fact is that the Pirush and the Gemara, the Rashi, doesn't even hold to that. So apparently that's even more difficult to do. But it can happen. Tefillah, the koich of tefillah can work wonders, can really change matters. In any case, that's the reason for Shmuel's halach. Once we're on the topic of Shidduchim, Amar Rav, Meshum Rabbi Ruuvein ben Itzra Bili, Menat Torah, we find three. We have fine sources from all over Tarnavim Uksuvim to this concept that what may Hashem Ishali Ish, a shidduch, a zivuk, once by a sherter, is predetermined by Hashem Himself. Minatir, what do we find in the Torah Siv? Vayan Lovin Upsuv, Vayamir, Mashem Yatzah Dover. Eliezer was looking for a shidduch for Yitzchak. Everybody responded in unison, Mashem Yatzah Dover. It's been predetermined by Hashem way back when. Arbaim, this is the neshama. These are two halves of the neshama. We can't We can't oppose it. Where's the source min ha-Nevi'im d'chsiv? When Shimshon HaGibor was seeking an Isha from the Plishtim, it says, V'av v'im lo yadu, k'mi Hashem hi. Even if his parents were not aware of the fact that it was planned from Hashem. What do we have a source min ha-Ksuv? D'chsiv, bayis v'hoi nechlas avis. One's home, one's wealth, can be inherited by, can be gotten just by inheritance. A father has a schos, it carries over, the property carries over to the children. But a wife, that's personal. It's part of his neshama. Hume Hashem, isha maskelas, an understanding woman comes directly from Hashem. You know, the Chazon Ish writes that in many ways, nowadays, we don't really experience the true revelation of Hashem's hashkacha protis. There's lots of hester going on, but in one area, says the Chazon Ish, we experience firsthand hashkacha protis and open, revealed hanaga from Hashem. He says that's in the Indian of Shidduchim, and you ask many who are involved in Shidduchim. Many can attest to this Chazon Ish, that they've seen the Yad Hashem in a very revealed and open manner. And the reason is because of our Gemara. Ma'ashem isha l'ish, ma'ashem yetzah davar. This is one thing which is still directly from Hashem without any concealment. Continues the Gemara. V'amar Rav, mishum Rabbi Reuven ben Itzt Rubili, v'amila samsei mas nisatani, we learned in a brice. Amar Rabbi Reuven ben Itzt Rubili, ein odam nechshel b'davar. It cannot happen that a person could be suspected, should be suspected of an offense, if he's really free of this offense. No connection to it. Elam kein asoy. Chashad would only apply to a person who actually committed this offense. Either he committed, v'im lo yasa, but if he didn't actually commit it, kulay entirely asa miktsasa, maybe part of it he did. He has some connection to it. V'im lo yasa miktsasa, even if he didn't actually do part of it, he did a b'libul asoy, so he contemplated doing it. So it's relevant to him, at least in some realm. Even if he didn't actually think about it, he saw others doing it, and he didn't protest. He was pleased with what they did. So as long as he's some sort of connection to this thing, Masha says, Hashem arranges that somebody will notice something within this person that connects to this concept and will be choshed him. Otherwise, if he's truly free and pure, no connection to this Indian, there's no way that this concept will be attributed to him. Most of Rabbi Yaakov have a kash. Pasuk says, "Ve'yichapu Yisrael dvarim asher lo kein." Allah Hashem elokeihem. I came to Hashem. Yisrael just tossed things on Hashem. Hashem left the land, etc. Things that have no basis, no grounding whatsoever. How can that be? You're telling me that chashad only applies when there's some sort of grounds for it. Hasam lahachizu da'avad. They were doing it willingly. Lahaches, to make Hashem upset, chas v'shalom, but they knew good and well that there was no basis for it whatsoever. Toshma, another kasha, ve'ikanu l'moshe v'machne, la'aron k'dish Hashem. What does this mean? Says Rav Shmuel bar Yitzchak Omar, melamed shekol echad kinei l'ishte mimoshe. Ve'ikanu means they warn their wives, don't hang around with Moshe Rabbeinu. He's liable to engage in this inappropriate behavior. How can they suspect Moshe Rabbeinu of this type of thing? Moshe Rabbeinu is a tzaddik, he says. The same Torah says the Gemara, Hasa Meshum Sinu Da'avad. It was an expression of dislike towards Moshe Rabbeinu. They knew full and well that he's totally free of this inyan. Toshma, here's another right. Om Rabbi Yaisi. Yei Chalki. I wish I would have a chelik. I would be counted amongst those. Imi Shechishtin Oise B'davar Ve'ein Boi. I'll be suspected of doing wrong, and I'm totally free of the concept. And the Farshim say it's a kapara. I want to experience that tsar. Be choshed me, and really, I'm free of it. But my papa, it happened to me personally. They suspect me of something wrong, and there was no grounds or basis for it. It's pretty clear that chashad can apply even when there's no basis for it. Like kasha, the answer is like this. It depends what type of rumor. If it's a lasting rumor, a sustained rumor, then apparently there's some grounds to it. But if it's just a fleeting up and down rumor, it means nothing. Habakal the pasuk, if it's a koil, a rumor that quiets down, then that can happen even when a person is really not guilty of it. It's just for kapara. But in a coil that sustains itself, it just drags on and on, Hashem only arranged it because really, really, the person is in some way guilty of this offense. Now, how do we define what's considered a sustained coil, an unsustained coil? What do we mean when we speak about a short-lived rumor? How long does it have to be circulating for? Amar Abaya, Amarli Aim, my caretaker, my adopted mother, told me, Dumi Demosa, those that are suspected in town, their rumors spread for Yoimo Pag. That's a significant, substantial time. And if the rumor is spreading for that long, apparently there's something to it. Provided it doesn't quiet down in the middle, so it hadn't really quieted down within that day and a half. It was a consistent rumor for a day and a half. I will pasuk beni beni, if it quieted down in the middle somewhat, less lamba, then we're not going to reckon with that rumor. Even if it stopped in the middle, and then we say it doesn't carry weight, and that's only elderly pasuk machmas yira. If it didn't quiet down because of yira, there was somebody out there that ordered it stopped. Element of fear was inserted, so it wasn't a natural. It subsided naturally. Aval posach machmas yira, but if it subsided unnaturally due to fear of authority, then that's not much of an indication. We treat it as though it's a sustained rumor. Like we don't apply this leniency to it. V'layamaran, we say that a short-lived rumor doesn't carry weight. That's only edalei hadar novat. Novat means to grow. It didn't regrow. It didn't resurface with the same intensity. Aval hadar novat. But if it came back in full force, loy, that's a bad sign. We treat it like a proper rumor. V'layamaran edalei oivim. This whole concept that a rumor is indicative of something wrong, that's only if he doesn't have enemies in town. Aval isli oivim. If he has enemies, of course we know who spread the rumor. Oivim udaapku alakol. They certainly generated the rumor, and it has absolutely no value. Okay, let's do a quick chazara. We started with cutting nails. Bimei Evel and Chol HaMoed, Shmuel Paskin, in both cases, Lakula. According to a Rav, it should be done b'shinoi. And of course, this applies to Tzipornayim of Yad and Regel as well. Regarding trimming one's mustache, once again, that's mutter. In a case where it's Ma'akev Da'achila, creates Mius, that is mutter as well. We learned about taking care of disposing the Tzipornayim properly in a way that's not going to harm people. The Ish Ubara, we learned about the power of lips. Bris Krusos Vosayim, one's expressions carry weight. We learned about two more cases where one may do laundry in Chol HaMoed. He only has one shirt to his name, or a clay pishton on the undergarments, which can be laundered as well. Writing Chol HaMoed should not be done except in the davar avid situation. Shmuel says, "Be mekadesh isha's mutter as well. Shemi kadmeno achara through tefila, ezibug zmena shemayim." And a chashad only applies when it's indicative of something wrong with the person, provided it's a proper rumor, a sustained rumor. Otherwise, don't reckon with it. All the best to you and much hatzlacha.